Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning. It is the 13th of July, Friday, the 13th of July, and the sun is rising and the tomb is empty. Paul once wrote in the New Testament that if the Jesus had not been raised, our faith would be in vain. And so it is one of the central realities of our faith that in the midst of all of the pain and turmoil that undoubtedly was Saturday morning after the crucifixion, that light came into the darkness and Jesus was raised and even death itself was beaten and the slavery to sin was cast free. And we start our show each morning with that central truth that the tomb is empty as a reminder that, as we talked about last hour with Nina Barnes, in the crazy headlines and the anxious conversations and all of the anger that's going on, there is something that will persist and remain as our world is being reconciled ultimately into its fullness, and peace and shalom will happen. So welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. I am your host, Peter Kapsner, joined by Logan Rausch in studio and Paul Perreault in the newsroom. And in the first hour, if you heard some of the first segment with Carmen LeBrugge of Connecting Faith, we were going back and forth in some of the history of Friday the 13th. I didn't know a lot about this. I really thought it was about walking under ladders and black cats and mirrors, but there is some pretty in-depth conversation about the Knights of Templar and some really early conversations about the disciples. And Paul, you've got something else now besides this Norse mythology that is part of the origins of Friday the 13th. What have you got, Paul?
Well, not so much origins of Friday the 13th. We got on this black cat thing.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just like Logan, when I was a kid, we had on the farm a black cat that was a big black cat. It almost looked like a panther. Seriously. But anyway, another, I guess, you know, she got all theological on us, Carmen did, talking about all the stuff. Well, okay, when it comes to the cat hating, you might want to point your finger at Pope Gregory VIII, who in 1232 AD, he had a papal bull called Vox in Rama, and it was very derogatory toward black cats.
Really?
Yeah.
So was there a reason for it? Was there a cat in
I don't
Vatican
have the full
City
document. I don't have the full document, but it basically called black cats the incarnation of Satan. So
I'm super curious, Paul. Keep digging into that.
We
want to get
do.
More in the Latin related to this Friday the 13th. Logan, you have anything?
Well, I do have just a little thought that might be true whenever Kylo comes knocking things off the table at the house, but probably not.
So your black cat, Logan, maybe is representative of this long, maybe 1,500 years of black cat history. We got to keep getting into this. What we know is that regardless of what we're worried about on Friday the 13th, that maybe our Christian journey and Jesus has a little bit something more powerful to say into this. So we'll take a short break, and when we come back, Adam Holtz, who joins us each week from Focus on the Family and Plugged In, that helps us do some movie reviews and gives us at least a heads up as to what we might anticipate in a movie and how we can talk with our kids about that. And one of them will be Hotel Transylvania 3. Do I have that right, Logan? That's there's actually a third one of these movies. I didn't even know there was two, so I've missed it altogether. I hope Adam can clue us in. Stay with us here on Faith Radio Mornings. And that Hollywood music represents the introduction to Adam Holtz, who joins us regularly to talk about some of the different movies that are being released from Hollywood, helps us know as parents how to walk through some of these things with our kids, also deals with the media music scene across the board. You're plugged in, Adam, are you not? Is that a good plug for your website?
That's a great plug for the website. Love it.
Yeah. So last week, Logan, I don't think has forgiven me from last week, Adam, when I referenced Infinity War and I said Infinity Wars, but you came to my rescue, and I really appreciate that from last week.
He needs to probably just trust Jesus and let that one go.
he's been trying to pray through it in the studio, and it hasn't worked out. I mean, Logan, where are you at with this?
We just spoke about trying to reconcile with others, and this is one that I'm really trying to pray my heart needs to let go of, but I don't know, Peter. Infinity Wars, that's a pretty big sin.
I know. It was rough.
I mean, Logan, did I hear you have a black cat named Kylo?
I do.
Right, you get the reference there, right? I mean, Adam,
yeah, no, I get the reference. That's both awesome and slightly disturbing all at the same time.
It is, and it's a little bit like Kylo Ren's character in these Star Wars movies, right? This disturbed teenager that, you know, you don't really know where he's going any given moment.
Exactly, it fits.
Yeah, it does. So I didn't even realize, I got to confess, Adam, I think somewhere in the back of my brain I had this awareness of a Hotel Transylvania 2. I know I saw the first one at some level, but we're now at Hotel Transylvania 3. Talk us through just sort of the thread of the story, and where are we at with the third episode of this?
Well, we have the same cast of characters, and the story really turns on Dracula. Dracula has been a single dad for a long time. His wife died, and his daughter is Mavis. Mavis is now old enough to be married to a human named Johnny, and they have a hybrid human vampire son named Dennis, which of course seems like a good name for a hybrid human vampire. And Mavis is worried that her dad is stressed out, and so she schedules this vacation for everybody, a cruise. And little does she know that there is a threat lurking on the cruise that nobody knows about. I won't say any more than that. So that's part of the tension. But really, this is a movie that I found, with a couple really minor content glitches, pretty surprising in that, in a positive way, this is a movie that really emphasizes family and marriage and the joy of having children. There's a werewolf couple with, you know, about a zillion werewolf pup kids, and they find that the ship has a place they can drop the kids off for the day, and their eyes get big when they realize they can just go off and have time together. And, you know, at one point, Mavis and her husband are planning on having a date night, and the young dad has fallen asleep with, you know, their little guy. And, I mean, there were moments that had a surprising amount of resonance for me as somebody who's married with three children. And I thought it presented marriage as aspirational, as a good thing, and children as a good thing. And, you know, in this day and age we're living in these days, that's not always the case. And in fact, it seems like more often, you know, marriage and dads and having children come in for criticism rather than, you know, being lifted up as something to really aspire to. So I thought it was a lovely movie. We laughed a lot. I took my kids to it, and we laughed from start to finish. So I, for my money, even though I saw it for free, it was the best of the three.
That's incredible. I would have never guessed the idea of redemptive messages in the midst of these sort of horror-based mythological characters like Dracula, yeah, and the werewolf, but it sounds like they really spun this on its head a bit.
No, they really did, and I was, it's a pretty rare thing that I come out of a film really pleasantly surprised, but I did with this one. I mean, there's a smattering of potty humor, and, you know, there's an unfinished what the, but, you know, honestly, that's about as bad as it gets here. So we've got Looney Tunes level, you know, ridiculous violence that is just slapstick from start to finish, but I really liked it.
You've sold me on this one. I mean, I was thinking I've still got to get caught up on Incredibles 2, which I haven't seen yet. I will say this. I did see, based on your recommendation, Ant-Man and Wasp last week.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, I thought it was really solid, a fun dialogue between the characters. And without doing any spoilers, Adam, I thought, you know, obviously Avengers has this tradition of the post-credit scenes. I thought, yeah, that was the best post-credit scene I've seen in any Avengers movie.
Well, it certainly ties things into the overarching narrative, we'll put it that way.
Yeah,
another movie that really emphasizes family. I think it's an unusual thing to have all these movies out right now that have really positive depictions of fathers. We've got Hotel Transylvania, we've got Incredibles 2, Ant-Man and Wasp really is a story about family on multiple levels. And there's another little kind of quiet indie movie out this week that's creeping into theaters called Leave No Trace. And it's also about family. It's about a war vet who seems to have PTSD and some mental issues. And he and his 13-year-old daughter are homeless, and they live in the forest, and they kind of evade the authorities looking for them. And he loves his daughter fiercely, but she's 13 and she's starting to realize my dad has some serious issues and he needs help. Mm. And it's a PG-13 indie movie with, other than the hard subject matter, virtually no content issues at all. And we never see indie movies that are, relatively speaking, as clean as this one. So it is not a feel-good movie in the same way those other three are, but man, I can't remember the last time there were three or four movies in the theater that really grapple positively with positive issues and with themes related to fatherhood. So it's kind of a rare moment right now, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, because it's a great point. I mean, as much as we probably don't want to admit it, what we see in media and what we see in movies, it does both subtly and overtly impact the way we kind of see the world. So it's fascinating, as you said, that there would be positive messages about fatherhood and family these days.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think in some ways with the Me Too movement right now, it's a positive thing in that we're reckoning with bad behavior. But I think, you know, men have sort of taken it on the chin a little bit for their bad behavior. So it's nice to see some counterbalancing things. And, you know, I should also mention that the Mr. Rogers documentary continues to expand, too. So tons of really great stuff out there right now, and I may never say that again. So enjoy this moment.
That's great stuff. Adam, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I'd love to get into the latest movie of the month from Dwayne Johnson. It seems like he comes out with about 12 per year, and I can't keep up. I thought he was just rampaging over something. And the next thing we know, we have this sort of diehard revisited skyscraper movie. So I'm curious your thoughts on this. Love having you on just to talk us through how we can anticipate the different scenes in the movies of their kids and talk it through with them then after the movie. It's Adam Holtz from Plugged In. We'll take a short break here on Faith Radio Mornings and be back with more. It's about 19 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, joined on the line, as we often are, by Adam Holtz, talking about the different movies and some of the messages in these movies that we can anticipate as we go see them ourselves or with our kids. And Adam, remind us again, where can we find your work and your reviews?
We are at PluggedIn.com, and I want to say also that we're a part of the Focus on the Family umbrella of ministries, so definitely want to give a shout-out for Focus as well.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite sites to just go and review, and I, with five kids that I have at home, it's incredibly helpful. I feel like I've seen some of the important parts of the movie that I'm going to have to pay attention to. And Adam, one thing I really appreciate about your perspective on this is, as a parent, I can sometimes end up feeling awkward when some of these scenes, whether they're violent or they have explicit references to them or whatever it is, and kind of just hope the awkward silence passes. But you suggest that as parents, it really can be an invitation to talk with our kids about what they just saw.
Yeah, no, I think that it's important for us just to look for opportunities to step into those conversations. And, you know, it can be as simple as we were watching America's Got Talent the other night, which has some really great aspirational and inspirational moments, and then they'll mix in these weird things that we have to deal with. And they had this magician on that was like conjuring spirits. And so right smack dab in the middle of, you know, little girls singing and acrobats, you know, there's this opportunity to talk about spiritual stuff. And our culture is such that it throws so much stuff at us that those moments happen all the time, whether it's a commercial that we see or hear or something we didn't expect. And, you know, I think that we just need to be alert to take advantage of those teachable moments with our kids, because sometimes they happen so fast, we barely even have time to respond. And so we have to talk about it afterwards. And I think it models for our kids that the goal is not perfection. The goal is thinking critically and being engaged and paying attention to what we're consuming and how it might be influencing us.
Yeah, it was such an important conversation, and it does really allow us to connect with our kids in some levels when we engage in those conversations. And so there's another movie that's come out here, and one I'm sure that we'll have those kind of conversations with our kids, and it's Dwayne Johnson, surprisingly, is in another movie. I don't know if he's trying to cram them all in before a presidential run in 2020, but Adam, I'm still trying to get your welcome for Moana out of my head. I have a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth right now about The Rock, because that just, it keeps me up at night, right? But he just came out with Rampage, and now Skyscraper is the new movie. Talk us through this. What is The Rock up to in this one?
Well, this one is very close to self-explanatory. The Rock is in a skyscraper. Part of it's on fire. His wife and two kids are trapped above the fire, of course. And it's more complicated than that. It's a big skyscraper. It's the biggest one ever. And he's been hired as a security expert. But what he doesn't know is that there's a terrorist plot to take it down. And there are people on the inside who are involved, of course. And honestly, this is like straight up Die Hard Reloaded, like you mentioned earlier. It differs from the Die Hard franchise in that there's not quite as much harsh profanity. There's a little bit. They managed to get their one obligatory super harsh profanity in. But the thing about this movie is there are a lot of people who die in this movie. Mm. And it's got a high body count, and not the critical members. You know, I think it's safe to say we know how movies with The Rock and family and children turn out. When there's something on fire, they're probably not going to be the ones who ultimately end up getting burned up by it. But there are some other people who definitely get burned up by the fire and shot and stabbed and dropped and kicked and basically taken out in painful ways. And it's PG-13, so it's not gory, but really violent movie. So anybody who thinks, man, I would love to go see The Rock playing a one-legged army vet. He has a prosthetic leg in this. They must really dig into the CGI budget on that. You know, jump from building to building. Well, I admit, you know, that sounds fun to me too, but there's all this other stuff you got to deal with as well.
So for your money, Adam, would you roll back with Bruce Willis from Die Hard and the witty banter that took shape there, or are you a Rock guy in the skyscraper?
You know, the thing about Die Hard is we forget that was an R-rated movie, and you know, there is a lot of profanity in that. So some of that old stuff from the 80s we have kind of fond memories about, and then when we revisit it, we realize that our memories aren't as good as we thought, and there's way more content in them. So this is still probably a better alternative than that, just on a content basis, but we've seen this one before, and, I mean, it just feels like The Rock had a punch card for action movies he had to get done this year, and of all the action movies The Rock has made this year, this is one of them.
I love that. I can't tell you the number of times, and maybe you're the same generation, Adam, but my wife and I would be like, we should watch that 1980s movie, you know, and we flip it on, and 5 minutes in, I think, what were we thinking back at that time, right?
You know, we were going to watch Ghostbusters recently, and I'm like, I think it's worse than you remember.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we turned it off, you know?
Absolutely. Well, in our last couple of minutes, just kind of shift the conversation on Plugged In, FocusOnTheFamily.com, a great article about written about what the rescue in Thailand can teach us about entertainment and life. And so, Adam, I'd love for you to give us a sense of what's in this article and what we can learn. It was such a dramatic rescue this week from the cave. And what is it teaching us just about entertainment and life?
Well, this is a blog post that my colleague Paul Acey wrote this week, and he was just reflecting on, with all this attention on the, you know, the soccer team trapped in the cave in Thailand, and it was a happy ending. You know, they got them out, and not only was it a happy ending, but the guys who made God's Not Dead were on the scene before they got them out, already interviewing people. So the movie version from a Christian production company is already in process, if you can believe that, which I have kind of crazy mixed feelings about. It's great, and it feels a little bit, I don't know. Anyway, back to your question. We're surrounded by stories, and movies invite us to interact with stories, and we really need to pay attention to not only the way we influence, they influence us, but we all have a story, too. We're all living and walking and breathing in relationship with other people, and we have a chance to positively influence the stories of those around us. And so life, generally speaking, is not as exciting as a movie, and when, you know, you're trapped in a burning building, that's probably okay. But, you know, there's a lot of drama in our lives, too, and there are opportunities, if we're paying attention, for us to just say, you know, where is God at work in the people around me, and where might I be able to step into somebody else's story in a redemptive way? And that's a mindset change. It's sort of taking a movie filter and laying it over the top of our lives, I think, in a really healthy way, and saying, hey, there's a real story happening here, and we can play an important role, even if it's not as dramatic as jumping between buildings 100 stories up. There are things that God has for us to do today if we're paying attention.
I love that, Adam. I think just the importance of sweeping even our kids up in the idea that there's an actual story in life, and it really is compelling. Hey, thanks as always for joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings. I just look forward to the weekend. I end up seeing all these movies that you review for us. So thanks, Adam.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Logan, I hope your cat doesn't torment you too much today.
That's great stuff.
Thanks, Adam.
We'll look forward to chatting with you again next week. Well, you're actually off next week, so maybe in a couple weeks we'll revisit all of this again and see how Logan is feeling about all this stuff.
That sounds great.
We'll take a short break now for Breakpoint, actually. And on Breakpoint this morning, a great conversation about the power of Christianity in athletics, and specifically on Tim Tebow. I know he transitioned to baseball from football, and he just had a ringing double in the All-Star game there. So we'll catch up with Tebow and this idea of our faith in athletics. You won't want to miss it. Love that conversation about how faith and athletics can come together in some really powerful ways. Like that. We'll take a break for news, and when we come back for the second half of our hour, we'll be joined by Tony Suarez, who's the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. It's the largest Christian organization for Hispanic people in our country, and he's got some great perspective on what's been happening in the border and how we can help rehabilitate some of the difficult situations and the gang members that are coming through into our country. So you won't want to miss that. We'll take a break for news and be back with more. Business and mission leader Dwight Nordstrom is talking with us this morning about integrity, and that honesty, really, as hard as it might be, is always the best policy.
I cannot lie. I cannot misrepresent in my workplace. And it's very easy to say buyer beware, but come on. If you're going to sell your house, it's not buyer beware. No. The Bible says disclose and be somebody. You want to have partnerships. I will tell you, the most profitable businesses we've had, they're long-term. And profit happens because we do a good job. We do a good service. We have a high quality. It's not that we just sort of defraud somebody short term.
That is Dwight Nordstrom, a business and mission leader. If you want to catch that entire segment on integrity and honesty, go to myfaithradio.com and search for Dwight Nordstrom or integrity, and you'll find a great segment that invites us that, as hard as it might be to be honest, that it really carves out a much more promising pathway forward. We're 38 minutes past the hour. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Tony Suarez, and we'll talk about ways in which the church can understand this border and immigration situation and move towards hope and healing in all of this. So you won't want to miss it. Stay with us on Faith Radio Mornings.
Sometimes what we say to our kids isn't what they hear. I mean, we're both speaking English, but to them, it sounds like gibberish. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Most parents start out with very good intentions. They want to guide their kids with wisdom. They want to help them when life gets hard. They want to make the most of a teachable moment. But guess what? Your teen might be missing it. Your son or daughter doesn't always hear those good intentions. Instead, they hear a lecture or a judgmental attitude. As parents, let's check to make sure we're not hypocritical. And second, let's help our kids know that whether or not they understand us, we want the very best for them.
Looking for daily encouragement and wisdom? Request Mark's small group studies on topics like leaving a legacy of hope, tough guys and drama queens, and raising teens in a contrary culture. Go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
It is about 20 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and pleased to be joined on the line at this time by Tony Suarez, who's author, speaker, pastor, serves as the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. It's our country's largest Hispanic Christian organization. Love that you're joining us this morning, Tony. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So I understand, before we get into some of the conversations around the border, that you actually have a book that's going to be coming out later this fall in October, and it's going to be titled The Triumphant Church. And it's about how the church has faced insurmountable obstacles in the past, and how that is really the church has come through those things and really helped us to thrive in the midst of difficult situations. Give us a little preview of this book.
Well, absolutely. And thank you for that. I was pastoring a small church in Virginia and struggling and looking at all of the problems that we were facing. And I went to a a church meeting where the preacher said we needed to pray. He said, there's a pastor here who's struggling, and you need to pray and say, God, give me a Book of Acts church. And that's what I did. I prayed. I said, God, give me a Book of Acts church. And I almost felt like the Lord spoke back. He said, have you read the Book of Acts? And I started reading it with new eyes, if you will. Mm. And what I found weren't miracle signs and wonders, but problems, corruption, division, racism, segregation, lying, deceit. And I said, oh, God, okay, maybe I don't want a Book of Acts church. But as I read it a second time through, what I saw was that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has always had controversy, has always had issues, but we're predicated upon this promise in the Book of Matthew that says that the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against the church. And for centuries now, for thousands of years, the church has faced insurmountable odds, but it's continued to triumph, it's continued to grow. And if that's been true for 20 centuries, that's true for the 21st century. And I do believe that I still believe that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, I don't think he'll come back for a defeated church. I think he's coming back for a triumphant church. So I'm very excited to get this message out and for people to share with the message that I think God shared with me when I was pastoring here in Virginia.
Tony, I get chills when you just talk about that idea that the gates of hell will not prevail on that. And it's this, on the show yesterday, we had a guest and we were talking about resisting the temptation as a church, just sort of hide behind the walls, live our way of life and not engage with the culture. Because historically, the church has been, and it really is at the end of the day, the only meaningful, hopeful voice that can carve out a new way forward, right?
It's the only institution that Jesus left on the earth for the salvation of man. And again, being raised in church all my life, I heard that he's coming for the church, you know, the rapture, whatever your eschatology view is and whatever you call that. But it's never occurred. And I went back again and I read in Matthew, and it says that when the gospel is preached to every nation, then the end will come. And I was faced with the reality that there's still about 3,000 language groups in the world today that don't have a Bible translated in their language. They've never heard the name of Jesus. So the only thing delaying the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is you and I reaching these language groups, that the church continuing to triumph, the church continuing to extend its reach. And we're discovering that every time that someone has spoken of the demise or the defeat of the church, we find another remnant somewhere in a cave in the Middle East or a remnant in North Korea that has still held faithful to the truth, held faithful to the gospel. And it's just another witness that the church continues to triumph. Even when we say, like Elijah in the cave, we're the only ones left, God shows he still has more that are in other parts of the world. And again, as Isaiah says, of his government and his kingdom, there shall be no end.
Tony, it's great stuff, and I'm fascinated by how you, being anchored in the kingdom in this way, you're obviously very active in Washington, D.C. You're part of the president's evangelical advisory board. You meet with people from the House of Representatives and the Senate. You're active there. And how do you balance support for our country, but coming at it from this allegiance to the kingdom in this way? I mean, how do you navigate these conversations?
Well, that was birthed out of my pastor, my mentor, who's also the president of the NHCLC, Samuel Rodriguez. I met him in 2010 when I was pastoring a smaller church that was largely first-generation immigrant, and I needed to help them. I didn't know how to help them, but I met Pastor Sam, and I saw a man that was engaged in society, but from a kingdom perspective, almost as if you will, as a Daniel or a Nehemiah, where there was no official government title, but he had the ear of the king or the ear of the government, and he could speak the counsel of God. And so I decided that if the Lord would open that opportunity to speak, I would do so, but I would do so, I want to make sure I say it the right way, I would do it in a prophetic way, not saying that I'm a prophet, but mm-hmm. I would do so from a kingdom perspective. I have no interest in being a politician. I have no interest in getting extremely involved in the political scene, but I do want to speak the truth of the Word of God, and I do want to speak on behalf of our people, but always do it from that kingdom perspective. And D.C. is, as we all know, it's a very interesting place. It can consume you. You can get it's very easy to get swallowed up in the politics or in the partisanship. But that's not what God called me to do. God called me to speak on behalf of our people, to I hope, be a voice of reason, that when people are dividing over issues, whether it be immigration or criminal justice reform or other issues, that when we start dividing between Republicans and Democrats, or as Pastor Sam would say, when we start associating ourselves with elephants and donkeys, that I could be a voice behind Pastor Sam reminding people as Christians that our allegiance is not to elephants and donkeys, but to the Lamb of God, that's who we hold an allegiance to. And we should see things from that perspective.
That's Tony Suarez, who's the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. And Tony, to that point, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, I would love for your perspective on how we as kingdom people can move towards hope and rehabilitation and care for people as they're coming across the border, whether it be the very difficult violence of some of the gang members and also people in need. In all situations, as difficult as it might be, we're called for hope and future in these moments. So I'd love your perspective on that. That's Tony Suarez. We'll take a short break and be back with more. It's 11 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Peter Kapsner, and joined on the line by Tony Suarez, who's the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Tony, love your perspective, just at kind of the ground zero level of some of these things that maybe I can only see in the news. And one of those things, obviously, is how the situation with gang members coming across the border gets framed by Washington, D.C. I'm guessing, A, we don't understand the whole story, but also, B, that there's this temptation to just dismiss people eternally. And the headlines and the violence is, of course, incredibly difficult and can't be glossed over and needs to be dealt with. But the unique distinctive of the Christian community is that regardless of past, as brutal as it might be, there still needs to be future and hope. How are you navigating all of this?
I think it is the height of hypocrisy for Christians to judge an individual by the way they look or what they're wearing. As the Bible says, such were some of you. Mm. And I think it hurts the heart of God to see some of the memes that are even being put out by religious leaders of these tattooed faces or shirtless men with tattooed faces. They're doing it to provoke a reaction from us, of course. And again, I do not condone illegal immigration. I do not condone crossing the border illegally or coming the wrong way. And I'll say that first, so that's established before I say anything else. So I don't condone that. I don't condone people coming and bringing violence and terrorism and drugs and narcotics and human trafficking. We don't condone. We don't support any of that in any way possible. And in fact, if people like that are in our country and they're engaging in nefarious activity, they should be deported. They should be prosecuted. But that speaks for a small percentage of the 14 million undocumented immigrants that are currently in our country right now. And when I see those pictures of someone with a tattooed face or what we don't know what Christ is doing in their life right now or what Christ is or has already done. What I do know is you can't remove a face tattoo. So I say that because there's a revival. There's a very large move of God that's taking place amongst Central Americans, and a lot of it has to do with former gang members. They're coming out of gangs at record pace, so much so, and this is going to almost sound crazy to some, but it's happening so quickly that gangs have they've had to respect the church. They've had to respect the influence of the church to the point where – and anyone that – if you have ever studied gangs, even here in the United States, when you get in a gang, there's no getting out. Witness protection program, death, there's no getting out. I mean, you can go to jail, but you're still a member of that gang. And then something happened in Central America. These gangs have so much respect for the church, they've said the only way out is through the church. If you join the church, if you get baptized, if God saves you, then we'll allow you to leave. And then, and this is what I think is even funnier, but the gangs are saying, but you better live that life, and we're going to check up on you, because if you're living according to your faith and you're living according to the gospel and there's a genuine change in your life, we'll release you from the gang. We'll and essentially, as they would say in Spanish, vaya con Dios, go with God, we'll let you live your life. And I think that is an incredible, I think it's an incredible testimony. I think it's an incredible, I think it's actually maybe a prophetic picture of what takes place in the spiritual realm. But when we get saved, that sin has its grip on us. But when we give our lives to God, even sin has to bow a knee to the blood of Jesus and to the cross and has to release us into what God intends for us and for our future and our destiny. So I, again, I don't condone violence. I don't condone these gangs. I don't condone those things. But it does hurt me to see us judging people simply by their appearance or by what they're wearing or the way they look, because we don't know. They might be a day away from finding the Lord Jesus Christ and their life being radically changed forever.
Mm. Tony, it's a powerful story, and we just have a couple minutes left, but when you talk about that, and you mentioned earlier in our time together that you read through the book of Acts and a little disturbed by what we might read from that early church, but you're talking about a situation now in Central America and South America that does mirror some of the situations in the early church. I mean, Corinth, right, was kind of a Pirates of the Caribbean town. If we had lived in that city for even just a day, it would have been mayhem, and yet people were being convicted and called out into a new kind of life, and it's not a lot different than what you're experiencing and talking about today.
Absolutely. And when Saul of Tarsus got saved, the church rejected. They said, no, there's no way he could be saved. He's not after everything he's done. It was the height of legalism to say that the blood of Jesus could save me, cleanse me, redeem me, but it can't do the same for you. Yet, thank God, his blood was greater than the legalism of the church at that time that would try to judge his salvation. So, it's an amazing revival what's taking place in Central America, and we're thankful to see it, and we're thankful to see how God is changing lives.
Mm. Tony, one last thought, too, just in terms of people coming across the border. Are there ways in which Christians can come around and help? Obviously, we'll pray for people as they're coming through, but are there things you're seeing that are as helpful to the people coming across?
Well, one of the things that our organization is doing in the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference is that we're meeting with leaders in Central America, meeting with pastors, and encouraging them, of course, not to come illegally, if you will, but we're encouraging them not to let their children cross the border alone, not to let their children cross with somebody else. And again, it's the desperation. When we meet with them, you hear desperation. It's not that they want to do things the wrong way, if you will, but there's no right way to do it. And their children are fleeing human trafficking. They're fleeing extreme violence where we're not talking about someone getting simply assaulted, but that death is a constant threat every day. And they're in despair. They don't know what to do. And so they'll take radical measures to get their kids to what they feel is a safe place here in the United States. Mm. And so we're trying to spend a lot of time with church leaders in Central America, finding ways that we can curtail that and help find the right way. And the right way is for everyone that's listening and that is passionate about this issue is to help me by calling the members of the Congress and the Senate and demanding that they take action, because for 30 years they've done nothing on immigration, and they're the only branch of our government that can solve this issue, and we should not give them a pass any longer. They have to come up with a permanent solution.
Tony, so helpful, so inspirational this morning, and hopeful on what we can do in a difficult situation. I would love to have you back on as we get closer to your book release of The Triumphant Church, and just keep that in front of us, the importance of the role of the church in bringing hope and eternal faith into our situation. Thanks for your work, Tony.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a short break and wrap up our show. Well, Paul, we've been talking a little bit about Friday the 13th today, Black Cat's history. You guys have killed it on that. Wrap us up. What's the last thought you got on this?
Well, first, just so people know, we don't believe this stuff. I just
right.
want to make sure. Okay.
Of course.
But, you know, because he has that black cat named Kylo,
yep.
Logan does. In Celtic mythology, there's a fairy creature called the Cat Sith. And it may be the root of the whole black cat connection. There you go. Yes. It supposedly had the power to steal the souls from corpses before the gods could come and properly claim them. So
that is a connection. You know what? I'm going to be on with Carmen later this today on Connecting Faith. She's going to have to come up with something more, because you may have just tipped the scales with that one. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you have a great weekend. Remember that regardless of what comes, the tomb is empty.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.